no one like the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am. Yes, there is no one like the Lord. There is no one like Him. So we worship You, Jesus. We glorify You, Lord. We exalt You. We magnify Your name, O God. We lift You on high because there is no one like You, Lord. There is no one, O God. There is no one, Lord. There is no one like You, Lord. There is no one like You, Jesus. You are the only one of Your kind, O God. You are the only one of Your kind, O Lord. There is none like You in the heavens, in the earth, beneath the earth. There is none like You, Lord. So we worship You, O God. We glorify You. We magnify You. We exalt You. We bless You, Jesus. We bless You, Lord. We give You the praise that we can come in Your presence another day, O God. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to praise God for another opportunity to stand in His presence, stand at this sacred desk to minister God's word. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's not a right that He has afforded me this opportunity, and I give Him all the praise for it. I'm grateful to our pastor, Reverend Armstrong, for also giving me this opportunity, another opportunity to stand and minister God's word. I'm grateful to Princeton Theological Seminary because they afforded me the opportunity to be here, to go to school. Something that I never had the slightest idea was possible. But with God, all things are possible. So I want to be grateful that God was able to use the seminary to give me this opportunity at this time. I also want to say thanks to the Shiloh congregation for my time here, for opening your arms and accepting me. It's not a smooth ride, but we are sailing, and I want to give God the praise. For my friends, I'm so, so grateful for them. They are my family. I've made some good friends here, and they're also my family. I just want to praise God for all of you. Let's stand to our feet and turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. If you are there, say amen. Now it happened on a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples, and He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. Then they sailed into the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out of on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he have a home or house, but in the tombs. When Jesus saw him, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by demons into the wilderness. Let's skip down to verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own home and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Father, we thank you. We bless you, we glorify, honor, exalt you. This is your hour, O God. You minister to our hearts. Speak to us, O Lord. Holy Spirit, we say, have your will in this place. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be exalted. Let your people leave from here edified, O God. Let your people leave from here renewed, recharged, O God, to go forth for you in the name of Jesus. Take all the glory, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Let me not be seen but you, O God. Let me not be heard but you, O God. Speak through me, O God. I avail myself to you, Spirit of the living God. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Take control. Take control. Holy Spirit. Take control. Take control. Take control. Spirit, take control. I invite you, take control. Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control, Holy Spirit. Take control, God. Take control, Lord. Do what you know to do best. Do what you know to do best. Do what you know to do best, oh God. Do what you know to do best. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want us to leave from this place, my pastor say, as soon as possible, I want you to preach with me, okay? Say amen. Say praise the Lord. Whenever I say something, I want you to respond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. The pericope that we'll be looking at today is from Luke. It's a part of the Gospels. The Gospel is the compilation of four books written by four different evangelists who looked at Jesus in four different ways. The book of Matthew looks at Jesus as the fulfillment of the Jewish scripture and tradition. He focuses on following the law. That is why there was always confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. God is doing an old thing in a new way. Matthew writes the Jewish Christians living in the Jewish Christian world. The book of Mark presents Jesus as the Son of Man, who is the suffering Messiah for a suffering community. Mark is a Jew, but it seems to be that he's thinking of the Gentile reader as he's compiling this book. Address the Jewish Christians living in the Gentile world. John, the Gospel of John, presents Jesus as the Logos, which is the world becoming flesh, coming to dwell among mankind. It is a gospel where Jesus speaks about himself as compared to other gospels. The book of Luke, which is our book of interest, emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' ministry and Jesus' association with mankind, the poor, the sick, the disenfranchised. It was written to Gentiles living in the Gentile world. This book was written by the physician Luke. He was also a faithful traveling companion of Paul, and we may consider him the only Gentile writer. Our text under consideration comes from Luke 8:22-36, with emphasis on verses 26-36. From this passage of scripture, I'll speak to you on a theme: what is on the other side? What is on the other side? From this story, we will discuss three truths of what we find when we go over to the other side. But before we go over to the other side, we will talk about this side. Hallelujah. We will talk about this side, where we find people and we find the church. On this side, we find relaxed, we find comfortable people who are there following the status quo. We find people who do not want to be disturbed with things. We find people who do not want to make changes when they appear. We find people who are just trying to avoid every form of confrontation. That's the kind of people we find on this side. Used to the traditions. This is how we did it. And we need to continue doing it this way. That is the kind of people we find on this side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are the kinds of people we find on this side. These are the kind of people we find in the church today. These are the kinds of people we find in our homes. These are the kind of people we find in every aspect of society. These are the kinds of people we see. People who always want to follow the status quo. Who don't want to make change when it appears. Who don't want to take the risk. We just want to have it on a silver platter and continue to enjoy it. Just sail along. Don't have to face any problem. These are the kinds of people we find on this side. And there is something I've discovered the short time I've been here at Shiloh. And when I was preparing the message, my husband called me and said, I'm going to step on some toes. Hallelujah. I've been here at Shiloh for a short time. This is an African-American church. And if African-Americans feel comfortable being African-Americans, they don't want to make the change. They don't want to include other people. They want to be by themselves. Who told me? Hallelujah. And it's not only in America, it's also in Africa.
when you're used to being yourself, you don't want to have anyone interfering in your business. So when people come around, you try to keep your distance. You want to be with your class, you want to be with your group, you want to be with your clique. You don't want anyone to embarrass you. You don't want anyone to bother you. So you keep by yourself. That's what happens on the other side. That's what happens on this side. Hallelujah. You want to be all by yourself. All by yourself. In this place, I've seen people look at me like I'm an outsider. I've seen people look at me like I'm a stranger. I've seen people look at me like I don't belong here. But who are you to tell me I don't belong here? Hallelujah. But that's it. That's what we find on this side. That's what we find on this side. In this place. And in other places we are. Like my place, my church, where I come from, at Providence, we have this ministry we call the Hard Meat Ministry, where we feel the guys from the street. Those who pick our pockets, those who rob us at night. And we try to minister to them. And people at the church got mad. Why are we wasting our money? Why are we wasting money on these people? And my pastor will always say, it's just a paycheck away that you're not on the street. It's just because of a paycheck that you are not in that street where they are. So try to accommodate them. You think they want to be there? No, they don't want to be there. They are there because of situations they find themselves in. So try to accommodate them. Try to make them feel at home, because that is who we are. Or that is who we should be. Hallelujah. But this is what we find on this side. This is what we find on this side. People who are not accommodating. People who don't want to be bothered. Who feel comfortable where they are. Who, when they learn something, they feel they are up there and no one can measure up to them. Hallelujah. Who has so much money and they have no equal? Hallelujah. These are the people we find on this side. These are the people we find on this side. I know in my life, there was a time I was comfortable. I graduated from seminary in 2006 with a BRE degree. I started a school. And when I started the school, I was so comfortable. I was the boss. I was accountable to no one. Accountable to myself. But God came and messed things up. Because that's what he always does. He's always messing things up for us. God came and messed things up. Told me I must leave from where I am and go to somewhere I know nothing about. And that was a tussle. God, you serious? My husband thought, I say you're wasting your time. My brother-in-law thought, I say you're wasting your time. I'm comfortable here. But when God has a plan for you, I don't care how stubborn you want to be, when he says you're going to move, you will move. When he says you're going to move, you will move. Whether you like it or not, you will move. So in the end, I had to move. And where I went, it wasn't pleasant. At the beginning, it was tough. It was tough. In life, there is always an other side that we must be willing and ready to cross. But my advice to you is, allow Jesus to cross with you. Not only allow Jesus to cross with you, but let Jesus give you the mandate to cross. Because if Jesus gives you the mandate to cross, he's going to be with you every step of the way. If we look at the passage of scripture we read, he told them, let's go over to the other side. They thought it was going to be easy. They thought they were going to sail smoothly. But in the process of crossing, the storm came, the wind came, obstacles came. They showed up. They will always show up. Whenever Jesus said, cross over to the other side, there will be storms. There will be situations you have to struggle with. There will be things you can't understand. But you have to keep trusting him, because he said what? Go over to the other side. Hallelujah. Yes. He said, go over to the other side. So from this scripture, I'm going to talk about three things. The first point is, there is a place of ministry on the other side. When God takes you from where you are, and he says to you, cross over to the other side, there is a ministry for you on the other side. Ministry is two-sided. Ministry is here, and ministry is also on the other side. Ministry is familiar, and ministry is also in an unfamiliar territory. The place in this text, it says to us that Jesus crossed over to the country of the Gadarenes. It is said that Gadarenes was located on the east of the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. This country was filled with Greeks and none and no Semitics. That is the Hebrew or the Arab. This means that these were people who did not know God. This means that these were people who did not even know how to serve God. This means that these were people who were not familiar with the things of God. Yes, these people were considered to be pagans. These people were considered to be quote unquote outcasts. These were the people that Jesus met when he got over to the other side. When you get over to the other side, you meet all kinds of things, all kinds of people. It's not going to be pleasant. The Bible says that when Jesus crossed over to the other side, he met first a man without name. It says that he was demon possessed. That's how he's classified. He's a nameless man. He has no identity. He's identified with his situation. He had no name. He had no name. He had no status in society. Nobody knows his background. Nobody knows anything about him. He was an outcast in the society. That was the person that Jesus met when he got on the other side. He was not only an outcast, he was rejected by society. The Bible says that he didn't have the opportunity to live amongst you and I. He didn't have the opportunity to live with a family. The tombs, the grave, the dead bodies were his family. That was where he stayed. That was where he lived. That was his place. He was rejected by society. He was in bondage. It says that he was kept in shackles to keep him in a controlled state. And whenever the demon was ready to manifest, he would break his shackle and then he would run to wherever. Hallelujah. This was the kind of person that Jesus met on the other side. But did it matter that he met such a person? No, it didn't matter, because that was the place of ministry. That was where he was called to work. That was where he was assigned to operate at that time. Hallelujah. Some of us are working some places and we are not happy, we are not satisfied, because we are not comfortable with the kinds of people we have to deal with. That is your ministry. That is where God has called you. Hallelujah. That is where God has called you. That is where he has called you. You have been assigned to work with kids. Some of the teachers are assigned to work with kids. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. And you need to do it. You need to work at that ministry with all your heart. You need to put your all into it. Most of us will go to these places to say, that is where I'm getting my paycheck from. I don't care. Once I can get my paycheck at the end of the day, I don't care. But let me know, let me tell you today that it's not only about the paycheck. That is your ministry. That is where God has seen to bless you. That is where God has ordained for you to be at that time. Do your best and do it to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. That is your ministry. If you are just sitting at the desk, just smiling for people to come and pass by, that is your ministry. Smile all you can smile, baby. Smile and make people happy. That is your ministry. That is what God has called you to do. Just to smile. Hallelujah. There is always a place of ministry on the other side. And that ministry will never be comfortable, sweetie. It will never, ever be comfortable. Because you are coming from a place of comfort. You are going to unfamiliar territory. You are going to a place you don't know what you will experience, what you will encounter. But you have to stand because what? God has sent you and He has your back. I told you I had to leave where I was to cross over to the other side. And this was a church. And when I got there, people saw me as the outcast. This is not a Baptist. She's a Pentecostal. She's this. She's that. She's not going to do this. She's not going to do that. One time we went to a conference and I said, the people talk. Where I was sitting, I was shaking. Let leave. I was shaking. I was afraid that somebody was going to come to me and check my hand and tell me, let's get outside. Get out of this place. You don't belong here. What? But thank God for my pastor. When the stones were raging, he stood at Jesus and commanded it. And say it's going to be like this. I don't care what you say. If you say she can't be here with me, I can't be here. So if you don't want her here, then I'm leaving. And because he stood his ground, I'm still at that church today. But this is how ministry on the other side looks like. But like I said, when he takes you to the other side, he will stand with you on the other side. He will never take you to the other side and leave you alone. He will always be with you on the other side. Hallelujah. Not only is there ministry on the other side, but there is provision for God's blessings on the other side. There is provision for God's blessings on the other side. There is provision. The Bible says that when he got to the other side and met this demon-possessed man, he spoke into that man's life, and everything about him changed. Things that people thought was not possible. Things that people thought his life was senseless. It wasn't going to be anything. That senseless man. That good for nothing man. He will be nothing in life. People have said that to you, right? But when Jesus takes you to the other side, it's going to change. It's going to change. My life is a testimony of that. I will be nothing in life. I will amount to nothing. I will be good for nothing. These were words that were spoken in my life over and over and over and over, and something that became a part of my life. That I go to class, and when the teacher is talking, if he doesn't ask me, don't bother me, because I won't say a word. I highly associated with people because I'm afraid that even if I open my mouth to say a word, I might say nonsense, because what? I'm stupid. I'm good for nothing. I will amount to nothing. But I say, when you get over to the other side with Jesus on your vessel, things have to change. Things have to change. It can't continue to be like the same. It has to change. And that's what happened to the man on the other side. There was provision for God's blessings when he met him on the other side. His situation turned around 360 degrees. Nobody was able to recognize him when they saw him again. Is this the same man who was in the graveyard? Is this the same person who was in shackle? Is this the same person who they say would be nobody? There are times people wonder how I got over. But I got over because I had Jesus on my side. Hallelujah. People ask, how do you manage? It's not me. It's not me. It's all God. It's all God. Because in God there is provisions. Lots of provisions. All kinds of provisions. His provision, there is no limit to it. He has no particular person to give it to. It's for everyone. Once you follow him, there is provision for you. For that situation you are going through, there is provision for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. There is provision. Shiloh, God is crossing over to the other side. Through the Howard Wilson Center. He's taking from this comfortable place and taking it to a community where no one wants to associate with the people there. He's opening doors for the unfortunate through the Howard Wilson. He's taking you to the other side. He's taking you to the other side. And on the other side, he's making provision. The backpack giveaway that is coming up is God's provision. The clothing giveaway that is coming up is God's provision. Once you cross over to the other side, there will always be provision of God's blessing available. Hallelujah. In my life, I have seen what it means to be looked down upon. I have felt what it means to be looked down upon. I have seen what it is to be looked down upon. And this is, I told you God messed things up, right? That's his attitude. When you're comfortable and relaxed, then he come and shake you up. So I'm in America, but I'm not in America. I'm in America, but everything about me is in Liberia. My desire is to go back. In fact, when I came to Princeton, I said that was the last time I was going to go to school. After graduation, book is enough. So my friends will tell me, you need to go for a doctorate. I said, no, you will do the doctorate and I will get a degree. Not me going to school again. But God being God, when I leave from here, I'm going to go to law school. Hallelujah. I'm going back to go to law school. That is what God has called me to do. I don't know what it is. I'm still struggling with it. Every time we have a conversation, every time he and I, we still having a conversation. God, are you serious? Do you really mean what you are saying? But with all my being, I'm sure, without a doubt, that what he's calling me to do. And I know it's not going to be easy, because on the other side, it's never easy. But you know what? I'm confident because I have God on the vessel. I'm confident because I have God on my vessel. So I fear not the storm. I fear not the storm. Because I know the storm will come. The storms, not storms, storms will come. But I know he has my back. The last thing is that on the other side, there is means for proclamation. There is means for proclamation. In verse 39, God said to this man, he said, Lord, you've done all this for me. You've done something new in my life. You've changed my situation. You've made me someone new. You've made my life colorful. You've made my life beautiful. I'm no more who I used to be. Now I'm a different person. People want to be associated with me. People want to be around me. Let me follow you. Jesus said to him, no, baby. Now, what I've done for you, I need you to go back and tell everyone what I or what God has done for you. What Jesus was saying to this man, do not go and say what your mama did for you, or do not go and say what your mama experienced, or what your daddy experienced, what your grandmama experienced, or what your granddaddy experienced. Go and tell them what I have done for you. Go and say to them, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, I was in chains, he changed my life around, I was nobody, now I'm somebody. That's what he was saying to this man. Go! Go and say what has happened to you. Give people your testimony, not someone else's testimony. We all want to get other people's testimony. This person say, God is good. This person say, God is faithful. This person say, God is able. This person say, God is dependable. But what do you say God is? Or who do you say God is? Hallelujah. We must get to the place to tell people who God is, because we know who God is. If I say to you, God is dependable, I know what it is when I say God is dependable. If I say to you, God is able, I know what it is when I say to you, God is able. When I say to you, God is faithful, I know what it is when I say God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, I know what it is when I say to you that God is awesome. Jesus was saying to this man, you have encountered me. I know your perception about things have changed. Your thinking is no more as narrow as it was. Hallelujah. Your actions will be different. And even your songs are new. Hallelujah. So I can imagine him saying, like John Worry and Howard Smith says, he said, God lifted me. When I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters, he lifted me. Now saved am I. God lifted me. God lifted me when nothing else could help. God lifted me. he's also singing. Like Thomas, Charles Home, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Cause morning by morning, new mercies I see. Cause all I have needed, your hands have provided. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. Next, he's saying, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I said, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His words. I have tears of sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, I say in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. Yes, sir. That those trials that are coming, they are only coming to make me strong. Because through it all, I have learned to depend on Jesus. I have learned to depend on His words. Yes, through it all. 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 Yes, through it all, Lord. Through it all. Through it all. Through the ups, through the downs, through the hardship, through the struggle. When they say I was nobody, they say I would be nobody. Through it all, Lord, through it all. Through it all. I made it. I made it. I made it. Yes. Through it all, I made it. Through it all, I made it. I said, through it all, I made it. And because I made it, I am who I am. Because I made it, I can stand in the presence of the Lord and celebrate. Yes, because I made it. Through it all. Through it all. I said through it all. Through the discouragement. Yes, I made it. Yes, through it all. Finally, I hear this man singing. I hear this man singing. Finally, I hear this man singing. Hallelujah. I hear him singing. Because he lives. Because Jesus lives. I hear him saying, because he lives. Because Jesus lives. I'm nobody, but now I'm somebody because Jesus lives. Because Jesus lives. My family looked to me when they want to make decisions. I was nobody. My word didn't matter. I didn't have anything to say when it came to decision making. They made their decisions because I was nobody. But now, Because Jesus lives. If I don't speak, no decision is made. Because Jesus lives. Because Jesus lives, that man could sit up, that man could celebrate in Jesus, that man could run around, that man could shout, praise the Lord, that man could jubilate, because now he had a name, because now he had an identity, because now he belonged to somebody, hallelujah, he could celebrate, he could rejoice in Jesus, because now he was no more nameless, now he had a name, hallelujah, yes, he had a place to stay, he was no more living among tombs, yes, sir. I said now he had a new identity, because Jesus lives. Most of us are discouraged in life when we are faced with situations. Because my family don't care about me, it means I'm nothing. Jesus cares about you, sweetie. That's what matters. That's what matters. That Jesus cares about me. That's what matters. Hooked on drugs. Jesus lives. He can turn it around. Your kids are going astray. I said Jesus lives. And it can be turned around. You are struggling. I said Jesus lives. I said Jesus lives. You are sick. And the doctors have given you up. I said Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Jesus lives. I say, people, Jesus lives. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow. No matter what the situation is, I say, you can face tomorrow because Jesus lives. Hallelujah. 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 If you are downhearted, I say to you, Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Your situation can turn around. Hallelujah. You are brokenhearted. Your marriage has no meaning. He can fix it. He can fix it. He's the master fixer. He can fix it. He can turn it around. If you are sick and the doctors have given you up, he's the greatest physician amongst all physicians. When he's speaking, your situation is bound to turn around. No matter what you are going through, I say, Jesus lives. Like that man who went out to proclaim that my Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, I too am alive. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to die, heal and forgive. Just rise up to your feet, please. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And I say to you, an empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. One more time. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to die. He who land forgave. He lived and died to buy my pardon, my pardon, my pardon, my pardon. I say an empty grave, an empty grave, an empty grave. There is no one in that grave. There is an empty grave. Is there to prove that my Savior, I say my Savior, my Savior, my Savior, I don't know about you, but my Savior, he died for me, he died for you. I say my Savior, my Savior, my Savior, my Savior, yes, my Savior, yes, my King, yes, my Lord, yes, my Redeemer, yes, yes, yes. An empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. So because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know